We're now on Parshas Baloischa. As usual, if I find something of interest, I want to bring it to your attention, even if it's not shaykh to Parshas Baloischa, but it is shaykh to Dama Shetoshiv. One of the things that people find problematic in sciences, in the science part of it, is that the Gemara seems to imply, the entire body actually of Torah seems to imply, that characteristics that people acquired can be inherited to generations down the pike. The best proof that this is not so, the best physical proof, you don't need science for that, is a bris milah. Jews have been doing bris for thousands of years, and kids are still born with the same amount of arla. So it certainly doesn't work in every case, but we do kahuna and kalal Yisrael, and is based on the fact that there's an assumption that there's something very much in the genes, so to speak, that became Kali Yisrael and so on. You can always say it's something mystical, something theoretical. There's also the Gemara says that a goy's body may react differently to certain things because of the havel of nevelus. Again, the implication being that you can acquire, because of what you eat, you can acquire certain traits. The understanding by the Rishonim about trephis and, you know, and kashrus and tarfus is that it has something to affect the person's personality, which is something that modern science seems to have completely debunked. So I'd like to share an article. This is in the Los Angeles Times in May 3rd, 2010. It's called DNA Referees. And the headline is, "Scientists are just beginning to understand the effect lifestyle choices and other environmental factors have on altering gene behavior, a rapidly emerging field called epigenetics." By and large, that in recent years, researchers have discovered that while DNA lays out the options, many of the life experiences, the food you eat, the stresses you endure, the toxins you're exposed to, physically affect the DNA and tell it more precisely what to do. The cause, a kind of secondary code carried along with the DNA. Called the epigenome, this code is a set of chemical marks attached to genes that act like DNA referees. They turn off some genes and let others do their thing. And although the epigenome is pretty stable, it can change, meaning lifestyle choices such as diet and drug use could have lasting effect on how the body works. So, and then a quote, "The thing I love about epigenetics is that you have the potential to alter your destiny," says Randy Journal studies epigenetics at Duke University. So at any rate, you know, it's so even though, and this is an example of how science did discover an MS when they discovered genes and DNA, there are, the genes are frozen and we have the genes we have, and now we see a step further that there's something actually that also affects the genes to some degree. So it's just something to bear in mind. An understanding of Chazal, how food, etc., can affect a person in a fundamental way, how choices that you've made have a possibility of permanently affecting the DNA, and it's just an interesting complement to some of the things that you see in Chazal and so on. Okay, let's get to Parshas Baloischa. The first one is a very famous Ramban about Birchas Kohanim and Neres Chanukah, where the remez in Erev Chanukah is in this parasha. So he starts by quoting the Rashi, "Lo minis chapashon chanukas anasiim," because Aaron saw, when he saw the chanukas anasiim, he felt bad that he didn't participate with them, not him, not a shevet. Kadosh Baruch Hu told him, "Chayecha shalcha gdola mishalahem," you're going to light a menorah, so the things that you do in Beis HaMikdash are greater than the anasiim. So Ramban asks, "Lonesbar the lom nichum about lokas neiris, v'lom lonichum v'ktoris." I mean, hadlokas neiris is a very nice avoda. Ktoris seems to be superior. It says yasim ktoris apapecha. Every carb makayim brings. I mean, he does all the avoda. Michas chavit avot yom kippurim. Only he does. He goes in the fnail of nim. The kohen gadol goes in yom kippur, and he's the kedosh Hashem that omed beicholo. Shiftoi kulo mishar se lekenu. So he says, why was Aaron so feel so down about it? His own karbonis during that period of time was much greater than the Siyam. Shehikir b'yomahim karbonis har b'kol yomei amiluim. He did it all yomei amiluim and so on. So Rashi's pshat that it was nischal shadaitoi, and therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu offered him a consolation prize. The menorah is hard to understand. Avol, the Ramban says, Inyin ha-godazu lidrosh remez min ha-pashal chaneka shal neres sh'ese b'bayishen al y'aron o'bonov v'tzoni loma chashmanoi k'en god l'bonov. So the Ramban says that actually the special facet of menorah that we're talking about is hadlokas ha-neres. He doesn't quite yet what he's saying basically is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him Hadlokas HaMenorah because that carries in itself a nitzchias that transcends the particular Avodah Beis HaMikdash. Ubaloshan Zeh Matzos V'Gilu Stara Ben Nisim Shizka Kadosh Zivama. Ramban says he found in Ksav Yarva Ben Nisim Re'isa Ben Medrash Kivim she'kriv u'shtem al sashvatim likiv shevet Levi. Amal kashbrochu l'moyshe dabal arm v'matalov yesh chanek acher shesh v'adlokas neiros v'ani oyse bol Yisrael d'ibonecho nisim u'tshua v'chanek ashekri al shemom v'chanukas v'nei chashmonoi. So it says over there mefurish that Moshe told Aaron, you're going to have a Chanukah that is going to transcend the melacha that they did. The Ramban then brings also a Tanchuma that says, "Legdolus not muchan. Korbanis are there only as long as they have mikdash, but the neiros are there always." And that obviously says can't be talking about in the Beis Hamikdash because the Beis Hamikdash is charev, the neiros are charev, but it's meramis and neiros Chanukah that's known even after the Chorban. I'd like to sort of flesh out a little bit. It's a very very famous Ramban. But I'd like to flesh out a few points that are sort of inherent in this Ramban. First of all, it in a certain sense, it provides a deeper understanding of Neiros Chanukah. In other words, Neiros Chanukah are the... What we do is we sort of rekindle, we do menorah. We do... It's not just a zecha for the Nes. The Nes have the menorah, and we do something like it, but in a certain sense, whatever in Yonim were Niskayim and Menorah became Niskayim in the Inyan of Neres Chanukah. It's interesting, it helps us understand there's a dovetailing. Many Rishonim explain, and we'll see it in Sfarno and others, that the menorah generally symbolizes chokhmah. Chokhmah is symbolized with light because chokhmah paves the way for where you're going. For instance, when a person wants to go someplace, so the light shows him the way and then he goes. When a person wants to do something, seichel and chokhmah shows the way and that's how he goes. Like it says, chokham eina berosho. The chokham is somebody who sees. So chachma to action is parallel to light to action. So the menorah is symbolic of all sorts of chachmas. The parallel to Yavin is constantly made. And that part of the Beis Hamikdash, in other words, on the level of Maisa, we don't have it anymore. On the level of the chachma, it says if somebody's osek in parashas kachim, it's malalov, as if he brought the karbonis, that we do have. We have two things left from the Beis HaMikdash. One is tefillah, and in the Shalma Parnas Faseinu. A second one is the chachma, whatever insight, whatever das Beis HaMikdash gave us, we have it, and Chazal encapsulated it in a Maisa Mitzvah of Menorah. So menorah is there as such. Secondly, it also showed the difference between the Nesiim's role in the Beis HaMikdash and Aaron HaKohen. The Nesiim needed to dedicate the Mishkan. Without the Nesiim dedicating it, I assume it wouldn't be good. They have to be they were the ones that made the Chanukah habayah, so to speak. But that was not a permanent part of them. In other words, their avoda was by nature temporary. So they brought korbanos, and that was the end of their role. You want to point out Aaron's distinction. Aaron is the one who is permanently part of the Beis HaMikdash, and the place to show the permanence is Dafka in Hanukkah, because Hanukkah transcends the actual existence of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, let's see the second piece, which speaks about the menorah, and it's a Sfarnu, and he explains the basic point of the menorah. I mean, if you take a look at the pasuk, we don't translate the words correctly. The word ner in Lashon Kodesh means a vessel that has oil that's lighting, similar to the Aladdin's lamps that you see they sell in the old city a lot of times, for, you know, these cheap little made out of cheres, Aladdin's lamps. That's a ner. A ner is a little container where you put oil and has place for a wick to burn. So it says, Dava avamato valoishas haneris, when you light the neris, el mul pnei hamenorah. The menorah is the central piece, and it has neros coming out of it. The pasuk says, when you light the neros, all of them must focus towards that central point. That's what the words mean, actually. That's the pshat. And then Sfarnu reiterates it. Kishetadlik eshesha neros el mul pnei hamenorah. When you light the six neros, they should be facing towards the middle one, which is the menorah. That's the body, actually, of what it is. The menorah is the physical body of it, and the neros are attached to that main body with a sort of branch. So each ner is branched out, and the middle one is the guf of the menorah. So what's the point of it? Kol hashiva ye'iru ve'eshpiu or el Yisrael. Sheyoru heyois or hayemonim or asmolim mechuvin or poinel or akonem tzoy shukam nora. It means that the different lights should face towards the middle light, which is the ikar menorah. V'sheken ro'yu ha'maiminim ha'oisim ha'chai olam v'ha'masmil ha'oisim ha'chai yeshoa. Both the people that are engaged in ruchnistika work full time, and the people that are engaged in material jobs but help those in engaged in ruchnistika work, it represents that configuration. Ka'omram el mole alya lemiskayim iskalya. It's more in Chulin that says, if not for the leaves, which are really the ancillary part, but they manufacture the food, the grapes would not exist. This is all to do with Rosh Hashem Yisbarach. Be'oifin sheyusak mikivuno ben kulam, that mechuvane mikulam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's purpose is seen from the entire thing. Be'romer shmo yachdav, and together they will be merom shem Hashem. K'mo shekibul aleihem, kashe heyed be'omer v'yanakol miyachdav v'yomer kol shidib Hashem nase kloima ben kulonu nashim kavanase. I want to talk about this Sfarnu a lot, because Sfarnu is a very, very yesodistic Indian in understanding many parts of Kabbalah, the Torah, and so on. The Rambam says in Pirush HaMishnayos Pirkei Avos, that the most profound statement in the Mishnah is Kol Maaseh Yilshev Shemayim, and based on the pasuk called Rechecha Te'eu V'Yasher Rechosecha. The Rambam says this Mayim is so profound, it's roif for the great Chacham that said it, very, very, very taken with the Maimah. And the Rambam explains, life is a complex puzzle of trillions of pieces, and each piece has a location away from that center that is the matachos of life. And the Tana says that the entire array of a person's activities should, the avodas ha'adam is, nobody or almost nobody can be kula kodesh. The job in life is to take all the pieces and to fit them and point it in the direction of avodas Hashem. So l'mashal, let's fix up some, a person needs money to support himself, to work, so he needs a job, he needs training for the job, and so on. As long as the pieces are aligned with that kavana, then it is then that's part of that big puzzle. As opposed to, for instance, a person works a lot more than he needs to. A person takes a vacation because you need a break, and you can't function without it. If the person over immerses himself in his vacation. Takes him away from things and he's busy with his vacation, then it started becoming, then it's not fitting into the place it's supposed to fit. The maima, the Rambam says, the maima that encompasses an entire person's existence is that in Kol Ma'aseich L'Shem Shemayim. Now, it's true about individual, it's true about Klal Yisrael as a whole. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Bria by its nature is multifaceted. There's no such thing, Klal Yisrael is not one Shevet Levi, because that's not the Matara de Bria. The Matara de Bria is that Reuven and Shimon and Levi and Yehuda and Yisachar and Zvulun and Gad Naphtali and Asher, etc., should all be focused and together create the image that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in mind. Those are all that's what, when it says Vayachnu Sivahar and Kiyeshechad Balevechad, those are all, so people see that, oh, it's a wonderful Achdus, a great thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Achdus and everybody was Achdus, so that's like a Kabbalah Torah. It's a very shallow understanding of that point. It's Kilu Midas Tov is a kind of prerequisite and it's nice and everybody's so sweet together and they haven't given the Torah. It's much deeper than that. The Matara of Torah is to align the different pieces of Klal Yisrael. It's sort of a spearhead for all the pieces. The Tikkun of the Bria is when Torah is the arrowhead and everything falls into place behind it. So when Klal Yisrael falls into place behind it means each one found the particular Nekuda where together it's working towards that goal. So, for instance, if Shevet Levi would take a back seat and Zvulun would be let's give an example of how a person would be. A person in a Torah society would say that the most important thing is learning. You need an army to defend people that are sitting and learning and so on. That would be one attitude. There's a second way to do that, and that is in a very military society where the main thing is glory in battle, they also need a chaplaincy because chaplains raise the morale of the army. So both of them need soldiers and need chaplains. The question is who's there for whom? It obviously has many, many concrete ramifications. But the attitude of what goes for what. You need doctors in a society because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave illness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave refuah, and wants to engage in it. Are the doctors there to cure the people so that they can engage in Avodas Hashem? Or, once again, scientific knowledge is the peak of man's accomplishments, but there's room for other things also. Kabbalah Satorah means when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Torah down to the world, the way in which he brought it down was that Torah is the center and everything is around it. The different, the Golem around, you know, the array of the Golem, the way they were set up around the Shevet Levi, Mishkan, is considered, says the Malachim were jealous and so on and so forth. The they were jealous of Malachim. They saw Malachim came down in camps, and they wanted something like those Golem. It's the same idea. the array of the Shvatim around the Mishkan was in line with what's an appropriate array of different kohos. Every Shevet is called a Kahal, it's called a Goy, it's called a nation, it's all right, because it has its own flavor. So Zvulun's Chof Yamim, and Don is Yodun, and God Gedud Yigudena. Every Shevet has a certain, so God might be military, and Dan might be justice. Everyone had his right place where he fit into the bigger picture to be ma'asif all the pieces. So he says the menorah, which represents the different chachmas, and like we said before, or represents the ultimate, the chachma of each individual shevet. In other words, the ideology, the mindset, it represents not the soldier, but the ideology of military. It represents not the scientist, but the ideology of scientific exploration. All of them had to focus on essential nekuda. And especially in Chachma, this was very important. Yes?
I guess, Rabbi, is there a distinction between Torah and Avodas Hashem? Because on the one hand, it seems to be Kol Ma'aseicha, you Hashem Shemayim, which seems to perhaps suggest Avodas Hashem, and the other hand is Torah. So are they one and the same?
No. For practical purposes, Avodas Hashem in its pure sense. In other words, by definition, we've now included everything in Avodas Hashem. So you wanted, when you distinguish between Shevet Levi and other Shvatim, if all the Shvatim, you know, if Zvulun is going L'chof Yamim, in order to bring possibilities of learning to Levi, so then Zvulun is also being Osem Avodah Hashem. That's why the word Avodah Hashem becomes ambiguous. A Levi is very, very focused on Avodah Hashem, and Zvulun is prerequisite avodah avodas Hashem, but so that's why I'm a little bit wary of using that term. Yeah, because you know we're actually using it in two senses. We're saying there's pure avodas Hashem. Somebody sitting and learning, somebody davening, somebody bringing a carbon, somebody shaking a little vinesrik, and then we say if all your other malachas are part of that, then it becomes also incorporated. I want to add a note. To this inyan. This inyan is something which, because it's in the realm of kavana, kavanas halev, these are things that basically Kadosh Baruch Hu knows. In many movements in different directions have contested the yeshiva world's extraordinary emphasis on Shevet Levi. The obvious complaint about Shevet Levi is, yes, it's wonderful that you fellows are Shevet Levi, but we never heard of anybody of Shevet Levi Mekar of all clients to make them Shevet Levi. It would be unthinkable that Shevet Levi would try to convert everybody to being Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi should recognize Zvon, should recognize Don, should recognize God, Naftali Asher. Yeshiva doesn't give that training or potential, etc., to people. That's one of the big complaints about the yeshiva world, its ideology, and its mindset, and so on. The counterpoint is that it is not natural, it is natural for whatever person is engaged in that becomes the center of the world. Just off the top of my head, there was a letter I once saw, an exchange of letters between Rav Kook and Rav Yitzchak Isaac Halevi, who was a great historian, he wrote Doros HaRishonim and so on, and Rav Kook felt that yeshivas don't learn philosophy enough, there should be starim and learning philosophy, starim and so on. Yitzchak Isaac Halevi responded and said, well, I don't know, but history they should learn a lot, that's important. And it's almost like Lishitosa, Rav Kook was very much a philosophy and the wasn't history. It's very easy for people to the center of their world becomes their world. Unless every person in his own mitzias has a sort of nekuda of Shevet Levi, there were years that were spent kind of only learning, so that he feels you want somebody that when he leaves yeshiva and enters the world of mundane activity, that he should always feel that this is all it's just a means for attaining back yad ruchnius. If you don't build it very strongly to every person, a certain island of Shevet Levi in his own neshama, he has a very, very hard time attaching it to other things. The shita of people who say, yes, the handful of great geniuses should be learning all the time, well, in a certain sense, those great geniuses don't become the high point of climate, they become the nerd in the ivory tower. It's kind of, yes, we have a Ragachava sitting in this ivory tower, and we have a Goyen sitting in that ivory tower, but that's not the focal point of Klai Yisrael. It may be the greatest mind, or we may respect them greatly and so on, but it doesn't have the life of a Beis Medrash where you walk in and people on the time off are sitting and learning and into it. It tends to become another nair on the side, not the ikar. And that's the reality of it. These are things that are very hard to pinpoint. You can't bring proof, because we're talking about Dvarim HaMesurim and Alev. We're talking about what a person's real, genuine feelings are. Even sometimes not clear to the person himself. The person who's a good Jew and he's engaged in X, Y, or Z, and he's a good Jew. But in down in his heart, does he feel that learning Baba Kama and Baba Metzia and Kisra Arizal is the most important thing, and whatever he's doing is answered to it? It's not. A person needs a strong counterbalance of that. And also the fact that Levi was a Shevet. They weren't Yechidei Skula. There's something, there's a difference. Yechidei Skula are the unusual, the curials. And that's why it lacks the flavor of make that the center of Klal Yisrael. The great people, if you ask yourself in America or in any country, the great minds of the sort that are ivory tower intellectuals are given a lot of lip service of respect, but they're not the core. The core are the people successful in business, successful in entertainment. It's a different mindset. Nobody wishes his kid to be a great genius studying ancient Greek texts and archaeology. I mean, if he did that and he's world renowned, so with the effort you have nachas from it. You want him to be a big name. That's the difference between the people who would like to have a few geniuses to the people that really want to make it the center of Klal Yisrael.
Ready?
Yes.
What's this idea of Sefer Levi being the center? I mean, when you learn through Tanakh, Sefer Levi actually seems to play a relatively small role. Like, if you learn through Sifrei Tanakh, there's very little talk about Levi.
Well, it's similar to, I would say, they were the Mashpiim, and they were considered to be responsible. If the Melech acted in a certain way, if the Melech didn't act in a certain way, most of them was the Navi actually, but the sense was that the Ruach of Chayesel should be coming from Shevet Levi. If they in fact failed, then it was a failure. But it should have been different. Yes, it should have been different, and it's sort of a failure if they didn't.
But at the height of Chayesel, with Malchus of Beis David, it's not Levi, it's Malchus Beis David.
Well, Malchus Beis David is the Hanukkah. It worked like this. Just like, if I can give you a parallel, the Adam is called Ruach Memala, the Koach HaDibur, because the Adam as a Medaber is the visible and quote unquote active element of Machshava. So too the Melech is the visible end. For instance, a king had many advisors. Achitophel was the Yoetz, but the things that David Melch said, he didn't say the name of Achitophel. When Achitophel was good, he gave the dictates, but they came from advice from a Navi, Sanhedrin. Kohen Gadol. You know, the Navi, a king, when he went to war, consulted Sanhedrin. The Navi would come many times and tell him, do or don't go. He would ask the Kohen Gadol and Tumim. When he came to speak to the nation, the king didn't say, well, I've had a round of consultations with some of the more important figures in Kal Yisrael, I think we reached a consensus. The Melech said, Raboisai, I declare everybody go. So there was a certain divisibility lay in Malchus, but the influence in Ashpol lay in Sanhedrin, Shevet Levi, etc. One more piece, we'll see that this is a Torah's Mincha on Avodas Hashira. So he's explaining what is the avoda of Levium in the sense of Shira. So he brings the machlokas, whether it's Bepeh or Bekli. He brings how many kalim there were, and the how many holes there were in each kli. There was there were 10 different settings, and 10 different kalim, and kineged those hundreds. It's the Chazal or Metakin Mea Brochus and so on. Now he explains what's the Cheshivas of Shira. So in the third paragraph in Torah's Mincha, he says, when the Imos Eila Zmiros Huyadug Mel Yoinis, the Chsiv Oz V'Chedva M'Komo, Minyan Oz V'Chedva Olakuf. So the Gematria of Oz and Chedva are 100, and therefore the Oz and Chedva in Lamala, Oz V'Chedva M'Komo, is parallel to the 100 kolos that the different instruments gave out. So he says, "Valkein kol adam yarvulo kolos kli ashir." People are turned on, especially by listening to music instruments. Shekishane shama shemas elu akolos zocheres meono harishon biyosu lefnei yotzra. When a neshama hears music, it's somewhat reminded of an earlier stage, when this was the type of kolos that were ma'orit for simcha. That's why musical instruments are especially good to provoke nevuah, because they remind a person of that earlier thing. I want to explain it a little bit, I guess, in words that we can have some understanding of it. When a person listens, one of the, I guess, frustrating points, when a person listens to a musical piece without words, there are feelings aroused, but very hard put to sense what is it exactly. A person, it's like, we like the words almost help us translate the music into something a little more concrete. So a person has like a music that's very upbeat and really makes him dance, but he feels funny dancing when there's nothing really that he's dancing about, and therefore when you put some words to it, he grabs onto the words, latches onto the words, and vice versa. That's what it means. As we go higher up, becomes more and more abstract and less cut into words and less in terms of our reality. So a person relates to the language of music, it hits home much more quickly than words. It's easier to arouse a person. When you give a person Musa Shemuja, you should be dancing now because you have so much good things, like Hashem doing so many wonderful things. It doesn't really, really arouse a person to dance. You put on a really upbeat piece of music and people just pick themselves up and start dancing because it hits home. It's like when a doctor hits on a nerve, you jump. But we find that frustrating experience because we don't quite have the words. So the chelik of shira is me'orer, something that is an earlier kol, and that's why a person responds that way. And then he says an extraordinary point about why that is. Ubnei Levi zochel is aneglis adn bechayim v'zeh tainug midik neged mida. Bnei Levi was zocha to this type of language, to this type of avoda midik neged mida. Heim somchu bevlusom ubedagosom g'dei lekayim mitzvos konam. They were able to be happy even when they should have been bavelus because they're doing a mitzvah. Where did that happen? Kirchsiv ayosel kol bnei Levi uksiv hirgu ishas achiv ishas ve'ehu Oma love vel imo lavisiv amakarish baruchu. Chayecha shetachem simchas olam v'chayechem kneged agasam shivim vavchem shlucha shashem. Klal Yisrael, it says that when the Levim went to kill out their family members, if they were to over the eagle, and they overcame their emotions, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Chayechem, I'll give you something that is a deeper sense of emotion. In other words, emotion comes in two levels. There's something that we'll call sentimentality, which is a shallow provoking of emotions, and then there is Seichel, which is above that, and then you have the deeper emotions above that. So for instance, when a person is going through a difficult period, but he knows it's going to go to something good. So if he's a shallow person, he just cries, and he's upset and doesn't do it. Seichel can force him to do it despite the fact that he's upset, and a deeper emotion would be to be happy because really what's happening is something very good. The Levium overcame the sentiment. In other words, whoever it was that they killed was Chayiv Misa, and that had to be done. And since they overcame that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I will let you tap into a well of much deeper simcha that comes from a different makor. So the simchas olam, the simcha that comes from that deep wellspring of nigun, is the simcha that the Levium produced. Okay, I think I'll hold it here.